Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Amen. Let's just pray, shall we? Let's just raise our hands to the Lord today. Father, we just present ourselves before you this morning. You are not just our Lord, but you are the Lord of heaven and earth. And Father, we just stand before you this morning to say that we belong to you, that you have purchased us, you've paid a price, the ultimate price, for each one of us. We thank you for being merciful to us, for not treating us as our sins deserve, but you've showed your mercy. And I thank you because of your mercy, we can step into your grace through your forgiveness, through being forgiven and cleansed by your blood, the shedding of your blood on the cross. That opened a doorway, opened us into a whole new life with you. One that has no condemnation. One that has no guilt and no shame. One where the past has been cut off and has been rubbed out and has been thrown as far as the east is from the west. Father, we thank you that you've given each one of us a brand new beginning. And Father, I thank you that your word gives us revelation of who you are. Your word gives us revelation of the truth of who you are. What that truth then means in our lives, the good of who you are in us, the richness that we have in you, the fullness of life that we have in you, the abundant, overflowing life that we have in you. Father, I thank you that you've given us that life because you want us to live in the good of it, live in the fullness of it, and live that overflowing life that you've given us so freely. And Father, we just stand before you this morning and take hold of that life in a new way today. That we say the old has gone and the new has come. We are no longer not old creations, we are new creations in Christ Jesus because you have dealt with everything that could separate us from you. You brought us into relationship, into the one that you love, into oneness with Christ. And we stand here this morning boldly and confidently with thanksgiving, saying, Father, you are great, you are awesome, you are mighty. We thank you for who you are, what you've done in our lives. We praise your awesome, mighty name. We thank you for the overflowing, abundant life that you've given us today. Freely we have received, freely we can give. Father, I thank you, you have healed people. You've done miraculous things in different people's bodies in their life. I thank you for those here this morning. You've healed from cancer. People, you've healed from incurable diseases. I thank you, you've set people straight mentally where there was confusion and oppression. Father, where there's physical ailment, I thank you for your healing grace that has been released into people's bodies. Where there is emotional turmoil and conflict, your hand of peace has come upon every one of those situations. Father, I thank you that you have touched not just our spirits, but our soul, our whole being, and made us right with you. Father, I thank you for the amazing honor it is to be temples of your Holy Spirit, living stones that are full of your life and your Holy Spirit today. Father, I thank you that you've set us apart for your purpose, for your good pleasure. You've set us apart for your good pleasure. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. What an amazing thought that he has called you and chosen you and set you apart for his good pleasure. Just thank him this morning that he is incredible, amazing, wonderful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your mighty name. Oh, you are so good. You're abounding in love. Slow to anger, but rich in love. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Just turn to somebody who's sitting and say, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. is better than where I was.
Brilliant.
Well, this is a release morning this morning. This is a release morning this morning. Pastor Gary has already exhibited that release. He's already been manifesting that release in the way that he's been this morning, which is brilliant. I love Pastor Gary, do you? You're a gift, mate. A gift to all of us. And, you know, I think that's an amazing thought that God has chosen us and set us apart for His good pleasure. Most people believe, or most people think, that if there is a God, then He's going to be pretty hard or unattainable, unreachable. And even many Christians know God but feel like they have to do certain things to please God. And when we understand who He is and what He's done, and that He set us apart for His good pleasure, I think it's awesome that God takes delight in us. We want to walk in obedience, you know, with Him and walk in the truth and everything. But He loves to take pleasure in us, what He has done, what He has formed, what He's created in terms of His life in us and what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a son of God this morning. And so we're going to look at a few things. We've got our special offering this morning, or the beginning of our special offering, which I'll kind of maybe explain in a bit more in a minute. But I want to start with something, but a bit more briefly. I don't normally do this, but just start with something that I spoke before. It actually was during revival days in one of the morning sessions. Did a session on something. Haven't really done it in the church on a Sunday. We touched on it, I think, one of the Christmas services around that time when we had the boat, the ship and all of that. But I just really believe God said, I just want you to start with this and then go on to what He wants to say this morning. Now, we've got a special offering, but for me, the special offering is really not about money. It's all to do with purpose. And God always links purpose with heart. And God wants our heart to be linked with His purpose. And when the two things come together, our heart responding to His purpose, then there's a release of God, not just a release of money, but a release of God in a situation. And this morning, I believe, is going to mark a release of God in our personal lives as well as our corporate life. Now, for us as Kingdom Faith, we've got an exciting future ahead of us, but it's a faith future. And it's going to be exciting, but it is going to be a life of faith. And more than ever before, we're going to be taking steps of faith. We're going to be stepping up in response to what God says. But when you take steps of faith in line with what He says, then you see God do what He says He's going to do. And but that's the exciting thing. That's the adventure of faith. God speaks, we hear, we respond, and then He does what He does. But He often speaks in a way that we have to respond into what we don't know exactly. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But that's when God then comes up with the solutions, the answers, the breakthrough, whatever it might be. So if you want to turn to Ephesians 2, just going to begin there for a few minutes and just use an illustration that some of you might have seen, some of you may not. But just really link that into what God wants to say to us this morning. If you've got one of the truth versions, then we're going to be using that this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. This is brilliant. I love this. What you are now is in direct contrast to what you used to be. Just turn to the person next to you. I'm glad you are not what you used to be. Just turn to them and say, you used to smell awful. Yeah, this is what it says. It says here, what you are now is in direct contrast to what you used to be. Once you were spiritually dead. When you were spiritually dead, man, you stank. It was a horrible smell. How many of you know what it's like? You go into certain situations and you walk in and you're like, man, this is just thick with the spirit of the world. But when you're there, when you're not saved, you don't realize it. You're just living your life, doing your thing, whatever. And you don't realize what that's like, what you're in the middle of, the smell of it spiritually. And what it says here, once you are spiritually dead because your lives were full of sin. We stank because we were full of sin. But then it said, and disobedient to God's word. That is how you used to live when you lived according to the world standards. Because you were subject to God's enemy, belonged to his negative kingdom of darkness, and were controlled by the spirit who still works in the disobedient. So that spirit is still at work. It's not at work at you anymore, hopefully. How many of you know you're free from that, the spirit of the world? Well, if we're free from the spirit of the world, we want to live like we're free from the spirit of the world, right? But many are not free from that spirit, and they still spiritually, if you like, no, we won't say that because it sounds nasty, but spiritually they're not right, and God wants to change that, and God wants to move in people's lives. All of us at one time, verse 5, shared in that ungodly lifestyle, longing to satisfy our flesh. We all sought to gratify our fleshly desires, and sin filled much of our thinking. Just like everybody else, we were subjects to God's anger because of our sinful disposition. Despite all of this, because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, just turn to the person and tell you that. Tell somebody, God is so rich in mercy. And because he loves you so much, he brought you to life with Christ. Does anybody believe that today? Yes. Even when we were spiritually dead. So while we stank in our sin and disobedience, God came. The cross took place to create a get out for everybody that was captured in sin and disobedience. And he says that despite all of this, because of his great love, he is so rich in mercy because he loves us so much, he actually brought us to life with Christ, even when we were spiritually dead because of our sins. What a wonderful work of his grace to save us out of the death and darkness of sin. Out of the hands of the evil one we once serve. Many people, if not most people that are out there, don't realize that if you're not serving God, then you're serving somebody else. That they're serving the purposes of the enemy in the world. Now, many don't realize that, and that's not the sort of thing you go around telling people, okay? Jesus didn't go around telling people, you know, things like that, you know, in terms of he might have rebuked Peter, but he was one of his disciples. But he didn't go around telling everybody you're serving the purposes of the devil unless they were the Pharisees, the religious people. But the everyday guy, the everyday sinner and everything, he didn't go around condemning them. He was wanting to give them light so they saw there was a way out of what they were caught in. That's why the gospel is good news. The gospel isn't just telling everybody you're a sinner, you're an idiot. The gospel is saying, look, there's some great news for you. There's light right at the end of the tunnel and it can be yours. In order to access that, you need to realize that there is sin. You're a sinner, and you need to repent and respond to the goodness of God so that you can come into that light. But we're here with the good news of the gospel. Right. You've seen this. Well, one or two of you might have seen this illustration just to help make the point this morning. And because of what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, we have our health and safety ladder. Okay. Robin Crosby, are you here this morning? Robin is responsible for our health and safety in Kingdom Faith, okay? Right, so how many of you know what this is? How many of you know how to use one of these things? When you go up one of these at home, do you get five people to come and hold it for you before you go up the thing? You should do, all right? It's good health and safety. You come to church to be taught some things, all right? Let's have a volunteer. Who would like to sit on the top of this ladder? Huh? A small person. Chad, you look really... Oh, Dave, come on, Dave Fraser. Right, hang on a minute. Just wait there a sec. Can you just go down there a moment? Thanks. Now, how many of you... Dave looks like a sinner, full of disobedience. How many of you know that Dave smells at this moment? Now, just very quick, because this needs to be quick. We need to get on to what we're going to talk about. We talked about a little while ago, this is called the sea of life, or the sea of lostness. There's no such word, but we'll just have that word for this morning. The sea of lostness, okay? And William Booth, who originally started the Sally Army, he had a vision that God gave him. And the vision was a sea of lostness, and it was this dark sea that was rising and falling, and it was full of people, and people were crying out, trying to get out of this sea of lostness. And he saw people rise to the surface and then disappear, rise to the surface, but ultimately disappear. And he said, as he watched this, he said it was full of people that were just lost in sin and were captured by sin. And they didn't know how to get out of it, even though there was something where they were crying out to get out of this thing. And then also there was clouds of darkness over this sea. But every now and then there was thunder and there were shafts of light that came through. And he said it represented a mix of the wrath of God, but also the light of God wanting to bring salvation into people's lives. And then as he watched this thing, he said a rock, this huge rock kind of appeared, began to rise up out of the sea of darkness. And he realized it was the rock of salvation that was rising up out of this thing. And as he watched, he said some began to climb onto this rock and began to find a place of safety, a place of peace, a place of rescue on this rock. And some of them realized that they needed to go back into the sea to bring other people out. But there were others that stayed on this rock and found it a place of safety. And over a period of time got so used to being there, they forgot about the former life that they used to have. And they got into their new lifestyle, their way of living, their new circle of friends and all of the things. And they were busy doing church. They were busy even running businesses, busy about their daily lives. But gradually they'd forgotten about where they'd come from. But yet others saw it and were reaching down, trying to pull people up, making ladders and boats. And some even jumped into this sea of lostness to grab people and to bring them out. And this kind of vivid picture that he gave is really where Dave starts this morning. That he's in the sea of lostness, he's bobbing up and down and can't find a way out. And God, with his salvation purposes, comes and makes a way possible for him to be saved, for him to come out of that sea of lostness and to be brought onto the rock of salvation. And we've described what it's like to be a sinner. But why did Jesus come? Despite all of this, because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, and because he loves us so much, actually brought us to life with Christ, even when we were spiritually dead because of our sin. What a wonderful work of his grace to save us out of the death and darkness of sin, out of the hands of the evil one we once served. So God has brought us and made it possible for us to come out of this sea of lostness and everything, and onto the rock of salvation. But he doesn't just leave us there. It doesn't just stop there. It goes even further. What does it say? Now he has actually raised us up with Christ. So if you'd like to make your way up there. It's a dodgy moment. If you'd like to turn around and sit down, it'd be great, yeah. Dave's a man of faith, he'll be all right. Now, he has actually raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places. So Dave is now seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. So if you imagine God, you know, here, and now Dave is seated with Christ at the right hand of God. He has done this so that in the future we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are so immense that nothing can be compared to such riches. And this grace has been shown to us because of his kindness towards us, expressed in all Christ has done for us. amazing work that Jesus has done. So he brings us onto the rock of salvation, but he doesn't just say, now just stay there. He says, I'm raising you up with me to be seated at the right hand of my Father so you can rule and reign with me. Now that's our position in Christ. That's our inheritance. That's the place that we have with God and before God. So we want to live that, not just know it as a position. But God also doesn't want us just to stay there, separated from what he has separated us from. See, what he wants us to do is take the reality of what that means. If you can jump down a minute. So he doesn't just say, you're seated here, have a great life and just enjoy me now. What he says is, I want you to take this new risen life, the fullness of who I am, and I want you to take that, if you want to sit back up there. I want you to take this fullness of life, this who I am in you, the power, the authority, the freedom, the forgiveness, the life, the healing, the wholeness, the holiness, the grace, the mercy, all of who I am in you. I want you to take that and I want to throw you back into the sea of life. And I want you to bring others. Just jump down and take somebody else up there. It'll be interesting. Yeah, Dan, come on. Now, what's going to happen here? You're not going to both get up there, but anyway. What's going to happen is Dave comes with who he is in Christ. So if he comes with who he is in Christ, he's not going to get lost in the sea of life. You see, if you're up here with Christ and being saved and living in God, there's two ways you can come back into here. One is through temptation. And you get kind of seduced back in and you jump in because you want a bit of what you used to have. What's that going to lead to? Death. Yeah. Or the other way into this is with this fullness of life, with the victory that you have, with the boldness of faith that you have, with the truth of who God is in you, the power, the authority, the love, the grace, the mercy, you can come back into this. You don't sink into it, but you come with that freedom that God has given you. You can take hold of somebody else and you grab hold of them and you bring them up into this rock of salvation. And then, because of what God's done, then Daniel is not just on this rock now to kind of, well, life looks different. He's now raised up to a new life in Christ. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He now has the fullness of life. So instead of just one being saved, there's two of them now. Okay, just jump down a minute. So now this dynamic duo, these two believers, what do? They now take this fullness of life that they have. They both jump back into the sea of life. And now they go and grab a couple of other people. Come on, Ian. Come on, Ian. Everybody, this is Ian. He's a man of God. He gave his life to the Lord last Sunday. Brilliant. So now what do? They've jumped back into the sea of life. They grab hold of these guys and then they say, come on, we're getting you on this rock of salvation. But you're also not just going to stay there wondering, I've been saved, but saved from what? Now you're raised to a new life in Christ. Up you go, mate. Because this new life isn't about, I've just about got somewhere. This new life is victory over everything. Everything that you used to be and used to capture your life. And then if we kind of carry that picture on, we'd all be up here within the next 15 minutes, you know, if you carry the same thing on. Do you think this is possible?
Yes.
How many of you have been saved more than a month? More than 1 month. Most of us in the room, okay, there's probably only one or two people that haven't at this moment. Now, if we can see a couple of people respond like that, these guys have given their lives to the Lord in the last few weeks, Daniel and Ian. Brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. You're going to get baptised, I think Easter Day, isn't it? You guys getting baptised. It's going to be awesome seeing these guys. Right, now these guys,
just imagine them all up here at the moment, right? So they're not just standing on the rock of salvation. They're all seated in up here with Christ. Listen to what it says now. You see, it's only because of his grace that you've been saved. Only because he's done something, even though we don't deserve anything. He's given us everything of who he is, even though we don't deserve any of it. All you did was to put your faith in his willingness to be merciful and gracious towards you. So your salvation is not anything you could possibly have worked out for yourselves. It is completely God's gift to you. That's awesome. Salvation is a gift from God for every one of us. You can never boast that you achieved acceptance by God through the works that you have performed. The truth is that you are the work of God's own hands. That's amazing. How many of you know that God has never, ever made a mistake? That's why you are not a mistake. You know, sometimes we struggle in our heads. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the other. You are God's workmanship. Because you're God's workmanship, you have been and are holy. You are blameless because you're a work of his hands. God is not going to work something that is not holy and not pure and not who he is. So you are his workmanship. Okay, this is brilliant. I love this. So your salvation, not anything. You can never boast that you achieved acceptance. Right, we've read that. The truth is that we are the work of God's own hand. Now we live in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. We are able then to do the good works that are the evidence of our salvation. So the gift of God is this, to be seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ, having been brought out of all of that rubbish that used to capture us. The gift of God is this place in Christ, freely given. Then he says, right, I want you to do something with it. Do something with the salvation that I have gifted you and that I now want to gift other people. And so he says here, he said, now we live in Christ Jesus. We're able to do the good works that are the evidence of our salvation. It is good to know that these are the very works that God had planned and prepared for us to accomplish. Wow. There's things that God does, and then there's things that we do in response to what God does. But then when we do the things that we're supposed to do, then God comes and does what he does in those situations. So at the end of the day, we all know it's God that does it. But there's a connection point between God and people. It's called you and me. And they're the good works that he's prepared for us in advance to do. Okay, let's have a round of applause for these guys, shall we? Thanks, guys. Cheers, Dave. Now, just turn to 2 Corinthians 9. There are many, many people. You've got friends, neighbours, work colleagues that are in the sea of life. And part of what God is working in us as a church is an even greater heart for people, for those that don't know God as well as those that do, but those that don't know God. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, we've been challenged and, you know, about praying for unsaved people and everything and what God is working in us as a church. But how many of you know that one of the principles of God's kingdom is when you give, you receive. That when you give, actually you see an increase of what God wants to do in your life. I think there's a certain aspect of living as a Christian that you only really come into fully when you actually express that to somebody else. See, you can have a revelation of the truth of who you are in Christ, the position that you have in him, and that sets you free. But also, in that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, God connects the position and the good of what he has done to then the obedience of what we then do with that faith. So God always connects an outward expression of his life with what he does on the inside of who we are. So God has set you free so that then others can be set free through you or through God in you. And so let's just have a look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 9 here for a minute, verse 8 onwards. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, talking about their generosity. And he begins to talk about sowing and reaping in this context, a biblical principle. Remember this spiritual principle. He who sows a little will only reap a little. Now, we understand that in the natural, don't we? That if you go out in your garden, like we've done, or we've done, Phil Ball and Adrian did most of it, out in our garden and sorted it all out. And I don't know, maybe you guys can tell me, we can start planting soon.
March,
here we go then. So we're going to have this, I don't know, we're going to overtake Tesco's, mate, the amount of food we're going to produce. Although Tesco's probably don't grow their own anyway, do they? So we're going to produce more than Tesco's in our back garden. So somebody told me in the week that one of every £8 in this country goes through Tesco's. Anyway, there's a little, you know. You don't need to watch Sky News, just come to Kingdom Faith Church on a Sunday morning and you find out what's happening in the economy. Remember this spiritual principle, he who sows a little will only reap a little. Now, we know that's true in terms of putting some seed in the ground. You put one seed, you're going to get a certain amount of fruit. You put five seeds, you're going to get more. You put 10, you're going to get more. You're going to get 20. So it's just an obvious natural principle, okay? But then God takes that. Why is that principle working in the natural? Because God's the one who put that principle in place in the first place. All right? And but also he says there's a spiritual principle. He who sows little will reap only a little. And he who sows to bless generously will reap generous blessings. But each person has to decide in his own heart what he will give. Not reluctantly or because he feels under pressure to give, for God loves those who give willingly and joyfully. He is able to cause all his grace to overflow in our lives, or your lives, it says here, so that in all things, at all times, you will have all you need and much more besides, so that you will overflow in the way you bless others. Now, I believe God wants to prove that word, those scriptures, in and through our life as a church. God wants his word to be proved. What does that mean? It means lived. It means expressed. God wants his word to be proved, to be seen that it works. And he does that through you and me, okay? And so he's linking in with what we've just said. There's an aspect of us sowing our lives generously into the sea of life. What does a seed do? A seed is sowed into the ground, but then it has to die from being a seed so that new life can actually then come from it. So in one sense, there's an aspect where God is saying, I want you to sow your lives into the sea of life. So in one sense, you've got to lay your life down in order for others now to have that new life that you've got, you know, in order for them to come into this same inheritance that you have received, the full inheritance of everything that we have in Christ. And so this principle, I believe God wants us to be operating more in as a church in terms of sowing and reaping. And one of those things as we move forward is you see that in it's obviously linked with faith, because God will always tell you to sow something, to speak something, give something, do something that then there's going to be a response to or a harvest to or a reaping of. But first it requires a sowing of our time or sowing of our life or sowing of our finances. There's something that is more than just giving something. You see, you can give without any expectation that something's going to happen with it. When you sow, there's an expectation that something's going to come up from that sowing. If you went out into your garden to plant something, you don't just sow it and say, well, that's it, it's in the ground. Fine, I'm not. There's no expectation of anything in that garden. You think, well, what's the point? But you can go out there and give a seed to the ground. If I go to the allotment bit in the back of my garden and put a seed in there, say, okay, earth and manure and all of that lot, I'm just giving you a seed. Bless you. And then off I go. The earth can say, thanks very much for that seed, and it can put the seed in there, and it's like, I've got a seed. But actually, if I'm going back there, I'm saying, hey, earth, I'm going to sow a seed into you, and what's going to happen is that seed is going to produce life. Something's going to happen because I'm sowing that with an expectation that something's going to be produced. So there's always got to be faith with what I'm doing, faith with what I'm sowing, faith with what I'm giving. So giving becomes more than it goes from my pocket or my life into somebody else's life. That's the end of it. No, it's coming from my life into theirs because I'm sowing the truth, or I'm sowing finances, or I'm sowing what I've got in me into somebody else's life. So it's going to produce a harvest of righteousness in them in the same way it's been produced in me. Are you here this morning?
Yes.
He is able to cause all his grace to overflow in our lives, so that in all things, at all times, you will have all that you need and much more besides. I believe God wants to prove that word in our lives. Can I just ask you a question? We're all family, aren't we? How many of us really live by faith? I mean, everybody puts their hands up, right? Because, of course, we live by faith, because we've never seen God. So we're living by faith, right? You believe he's real, do you not? So therefore, we're all living by faith. Is that true? So how many in the room are living by faith? Everybody, right? How many of you got something on the go with God where he's spoken to you about something and you know it's beyond you to see that happen? And therefore, you're responding to what God says in order to see what God has said take place, right? Now, I believe God wants us individually to always have a bit of a faith project going on with him. But as a church, also, God wants us constantly to be having faith projects on the go. Now, that in different ways. Firstly, with people being saved. I believe God wants us to prove his word with seeing people being saved. It'd be great to get daily, wouldn't it, to that point, right? I don't mean, you know, X amount in the year and then you spread that out during the year. I mean, it'd be great to see people daily, right? But I think we probably need to start with something where, you know, we see some people saved every week. When I say saved, I mean thoroughly saved. You know, they're transformed. There's real repentance and faith. And see, that's a bit of a faith project. How many of you have got somebody, friend, neighbor, work colleague, family member that you are praying for, believing for? God has spoken to you about their life and that you're actively reaching out towards their life in some way, all right? Because we want to see people responding. Now, that's a bit of a faith project in one sense. There's an expectation. We're sowing in prayer. We're sowing into that friendship. We're sowing with the word, with the gospel, whatever. But we're expecting a return. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to see an acceleration in how quickly people respond and come under conviction and respond to the gospel. That it doesn't take somebody 6 months to respond to the Lord anymore, but actually people are coming under conviction a lot more quickly than they are. How does that happen? Of course, it's the Holy Spirit, but how quickly we respond to God determines how quickly others respond to God. So if we're walking with God and God speaks to us about something and we're like, right, Father, if there's something that's out of line in my life, I respond right now. I repent. I ask you to work in my heart. I thank you that you touched I want to line my life up with the truth now, and I'm going to walk in the good of that now. It's keeping short accounts, quick response to God, right? Now, if we're responding quickly to God and that activity of the Holy Spirit is working like that in our lives, we're quick to respond, quick to forgive, quick to whatever we're doing in our lives with God, then what you'll find is others around you will find themselves responding quickly to the Lord as well. Because that's what's happening in you, in your spirit, in your life. And when you're with others, God wants your spirit and the life that is in you to overtake what is going on in somebody else's life. Okay, so there's that part of it, you know. But also, I believe there's some things faith-wise in terms of finances that God wants to also for us to be living out, okay? Now, we got some faith adventures ahead of us over the next few years in terms of what we might end up building at Rofi and everything, okay? But it's going to require us to really believe to see God do what he says he's going to do. Not just with building a building, but actually fulfilling what his word is that he's going to do. That's why we do certain things. So there's one or two things, like we're obviously doing the hub, and we've got our offering this morning. And we don't want to just do the hub area up because we just want to do it up. There's always a purpose in doing something. Now, there are some things that we've got to do to it, like the floor. All the scree underneath has crumbled and the lino's had it and everything. So we've got to do that anyway. But every time we do something, it's got to be for the purpose of what it's for, not just because we want to make something look better or be nice or whatever. There's a purpose connected with everything that we do. And we want to do the hub area up and change it around to really serve the vision of what we're about as a people, or to serve part of the vision anyway, as to what is expressed here locally in terms of reaching out into the community, but also affects others that come here from wherever as well. And so part of our thinking and part of what God has been saying to us in terms of getting us ready also for the coming years, how we think our back garden as a church is the region. It's a 25-mile radius. That's our mission field, the whole region. Our mission field isn't one town that this building is based in, but God has spoken to us about a 25-mile radius, which is our back garden. That's our region. And one of the things God has been saying to us, he wants us to be right at the center, like a community of people, a body of people living out this faith and revival dynamic, this dynamic of love and faith amongst us that isn't just for Horsham, but it's to impact the whole of this 25-mile radius in terms of our immediate mission field as a church. Now, we've got to put legs on that. And there's some things that are beginning to happen, obviously, in Worthing, Guildford, and one or two other places in terms of prayer and up in the stakes and everything. But God wants us to be, you know, a community centre, if you like, for the whole of the region. And so everything that we do needs to reflect that in one sense. And the use of this building, we need to utilise what we have a lot more than we do. And what we're doing with the hub in terms of the drawings and the sort of artist's impressions you've seen at the back there and more the specific design that you can see from an overhead point of view is really to be part of that vision. It's not to make the building nicer just for us when we turn up on a Sunday or for a conference or for something else. It's not just, oh, that's nice, I like going to the building. It's actually so that it's our home corporately, if you like, so that everybody that comes into this place is not only going to be blessed, but they come into an environment that actually enables us to serve them and for God to touch their lives. Now, we know it doesn't need, you know, you could say, well, you just need a mud hut to do that, or you can be out in the open air to do that. That's fine. But one of the things God has said is our buildings have got to glorify him. They've got to honour him. And some of the bits and pieces don't, and that's partly why we're doing it. And so you've seen the designs and the various things that are going to be in the back there. And so partly it's to help with us as a church begin to think and act in line with what God is saying. Now, we have a number of things that go on back there during the week or monthly, whatever, at different times. But there's going to be an increase of that as more and more people come to find out who God is. One of the things that has changed in the last few months since we crossed over in November, one of the things that has been happening, instead of us having to go to people and be, you know, asking people, do you want to know Jesus or this, that, and the other, people have actually, things have flipped, and a lot of people are coming now saying, can you tell me about Jesus? Or can I come to your church? Can I come to, it's like something's changed where instead of us having to go and ask the questions and all of that, there's been a change where people are now coming saying, can I be part of your church, even though they might not be saved yet? Can I come along? Tell me about Jesus. Who is this God? What was this Christian stuff all about? And there's something shifting. And so we need to be ready in terms of more people coming in and how we are moving and operating and thinking as a church, okay? And so to do the back there, we've got to do things like the floor, which as part of the whole price is about 18,000 just to do the floor. It's a big area out there in terms of right across, not just what you see as the hall bit there, but if you take the green wall down, rip out the sort of what was the kitchen area there and some other, you're talking about the whole of the floor back there. And so it's about 18,000 for that, for the floor. And then when you add on the other things like the equipment that we need to get, for some bits for the hub and some other bits for the back there, the decor, furniture and other bits and pieces. Obviously, there's going to be walls knocked down and other things rebuilt and whatnot. When you add all of that up there, we're looking at a figure of between 45 and 50,000 to do all of that stuff back there. We could have spent 80 grand if we wanted to make it, you know, this and that and the other. But I don't believe it's right to go nuts back there. We need to do what we need to do so that it is a quality thing and it really honours God. But we're not going to go over the top in this building to do. It needs to serve what we need to do. We could have knocked a few quid off that as well, 45, 50, a little bit less, but it would be a bit dodgy here and there. You know what it's like when you have a dodgy builder who can save you a couple of grand and you regret it later? And think, should have paid the extra 3,000 or 4,000 and it would have saved me a lot of hassle, right? So we want to honour, we're not going to cut corners, and we want to honour God with what we're going to do back there. And so today we want to give, but we want to begin to prove God's word in how we sow what we're giving, okay? Now, today, we're not just going to have a one-off offering today. Some people, you know, you've got more money than others. And for some, you know, it might be easy just to put a check in for a certain amount. Maybe others of you, as you've been praying, you believe God has told you to put a certain amount in, and you think, well, I can't do that in one go. I'd need to do that over 2 or 3 months. Well, that's fine. Because what we want to do today is we want to start today really with this offering and begin to sow into what God is doing amongst us. And so you might think, well, hang on a minute, I'm only going to put 50 quid in there. What can that 50 quid do in relation to 50,000? Well, you know, if 100 people gave 100 quid, that's 10,000. If 20 people gave 50 quid, that's 10,000. If 50 people gave 200 quid, that's 10,000. If 20 people gave 500 quid each, that's 10,000. If 10 people gave 1,000, that's 10,000. You know, sometimes when we come to offerings, we think, well, I'll put that in, but what difference is it really going to make, my 40, 50 quid? Well, actually, there's enough resources in the body here to do that without even blinking. To do the play area, that's an extra 25,000, all right, to put that in. So at this stage, the space is going to be made. There are one or two things we're just working through with that. But that in and of itself, which would be quite a good size area and everything, that itself is well, probably maximum is going to be that. About 25,000 for that on top of the other 45, 50, okay? But we have enough money in the church here to easily do all of that stuff. And so for me, it's not, please would you give money, but actually it's okay, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting me to sow into what you're doing? What do you want me to sow into, not just a building, but to reach in people's lives? What do you want me to sow into this building so that it glorifies and honours you? And God knows the sums and how to add things up and make it work. All right? We do not have any spare cash to do that back there. So it's not like we got 20 grand sitting over there somewhere that it's like, well, whatever we get, we can add that 20 grand to it. We're starting with zip, zero, nil, zip, zilch, okay? And so that's where we're at with that, just to let you know. And so, I don't know, some of you guys, I don't know how you pay your council tax. If you pay it monthly, you won't be paying council tax in February and March. So you might have 150, 200, 250 quid spare this month and next month that you might not normally have. And you think, actually, oh, I didn't think about that. So I'm not saying you got to put it in because, you know, it's up to you. But it's like, hang on a minute. Actually, there's a spare over the next couple of months, 200, 300, 400 quid that actually I could sow into there instead of then, well, I could buy a new telly with that spare 400 quid. Well, maybe don't buy a new telly. Maybe put it in the offering instead. People are walking out. Is that because you're upset or are you going to do the hub? Do the hub. Cool, just checking. It's all right. You know, when you start talking about money, people start... It's funny, isn't it? Because people start going, let's talk about money in church. And they get uncomfortable. They're like, and all of that. You know, at the end of the day, it's just bits of paper, isn't it? So, it's great to talk about money, I think, in church, because actually it's the last thing that people seem to really get a grip with in their Christian life. So we won't talk about tithes and all that today. We'll do that another day in the bigger financial picture, because I'll probably wind a few of you up as well if we talk about tithing. But what we're going to do, we're going to have an opportunity really to start today the special offering. What we're going to do as a church in terms of sowing into what we're going to do at the back there. And then over the next couple of months, you might think, okay, well, I'm going to put another 50 quid aside for in next month out of my salary, and then the next month after that so I can put another 100 in. Or you might say, well, actually, I'm going to put 100 quid more this month and next month so that I can put another couple of 100 quid over the next few months. So rather than just seeing this as a one-off kind of, what have I got in my bank today that I can give out of that? It's like, I want to be a little bit more creative, actually. So I'm going to make this a bit more of a project. I'm going to sow into that. But also I'm sowing because I'm going to see God prove, as I put a seed in there, God's going to prove something back to me, and actually I'm going to be blessed as a result of giving into what we're doing as a church back there, you know. So for Jane and I, we're putting money in, but we're sowing it, expecting a return. That's not the reason why I'm doing it, but what I'm doing is getting hold of a principle that if you sow generously, you will reap generously. If you sow sparingly, you'll reach sparingly. Now, what does that mean? Here, it's not actually about the amount. What he talks about here is the heart in which it's given. It's better to put 50 quid in with a grateful heart, with a heart of, you know, joy and brilliant. I'm sowing into this 50 quid, praise God. Then put 250 quid in, but you feel like you're twisting your own arm back round your back and all. You know, if you do it like that, God says, I don't want it. Honestly, that's what he says. If you're going to give it like that, I don't want it and I don't need it. That's what he says, you know. Because he says, come joyfully, you know, and do it with a joyful heart. If we're going to give generously, it's to do with our heart attitude. All right, not just the amount. Okay, so we're going to do that in a moment and give. And so some of you might come this morning thinking, well, I know what I've got. I've got a check ready, or you've got your cash with you. Maybe some of you have completely forgotten about the offering this morning. Well, that's okay, because we're going to sort of have an ongoing offering over the next couple of months. All right. So, and you can do that in a couple of different ways. The first Sunday of each month, so the first Sunday of March and the first Sunday of April, okay, you'll be able to give if you want to give it when you're here in the building, or if you just want to give into the offering, you can send it in, obviously in the post at any point, and just mark what it is with special offering, and the guys in finance will obviously put that into the fund to do the hub and everything. If we get way over that, the amount, then brilliant, because there's some other stuff we need to do. You saw last week, we saw some stuff about the outside of the building. We need to put a little canopy on out the front so it doesn't get soaking wet when it rains inside. We need to do some of the rendering and do some other bits out the front to sort the building out and everything. So if there's more than we need to do in there, then great, we can start the outside as well. Is that all right? We don't talk about money that often in this church, very often actually. I can't remember the last time we actually had a Sunday about money. So we're going to do the next 6 months on money. Is that all right? Every week we're just going to flog it. Money, money. No, we're not. No, we're not. If you're watching I was joking then on the internet, all right? You can see that. Kingdom Faith, all they do is raise about money. Somebody was going to leave the church recently, apparently, because all we do is talk about money. And when was the last time we preached about money? Don't know. Well, there you go. So let's just shut the devil up, shall we, and get stuck into what's going on. So is that all right? Let's stand, shall we? If we've got all the guys ready with the buckets, the barrels, or the skips, or whatever it is that we're going to have down the front here. In Exodus 35 and 36, when they were making the tabernacle, it's brilliant in there. Do you see what, if you read those couple of chapters, they said, everybody bring your gold and your silver and everything that you've got. Bring your talents and your skills so we can build the tabernacle. And it got to the point where Moses had to say, look, enough is enough. We've got too much. We don't need any more. We've got more than enough money, more than enough skills to do this thing. It's like, brilliant. What a generous people. Now that's the kind of spirit that we have inside of us. The Holy Spirit is a generous spirit. So we're going to give generously and rejoicing. Also practically, if you've got some time and you'd like to get involved in some way with helping to do the hub, there we're getting one or two contractors in to do some of the things. But if you want to help in any way, move furniture, push wheelbarrows around, etc., taking fittings off the wall or boxing up certain items or sweeping up, cleaning up, painting, decorating, those kind of things. If you have got time, and you want to make yourself available, then you can see Andy Dove. He's going to be standing where the display is in the hub afterwards, you know, where the pictures are on the walls. He's going to be right there. And if you want to get involved or find out how you might be able to get involved, if you've got certain skills and thoughts on design and all that kind of stuff, then go and have a chat with him and then we'll see how we can get you involved helping to make the thing happen. So we are going to do a certain amount of the work ourselves, but some of it is contracted in as well, just because of the nature of some of it and what needs to happen back there. But so today is kind of the first sowing point, if you like. So this isn't just a one-off, what do we get in it? That's all we got to work with. Me and Jane and me, we're doing something each month over the next few months. We're putting something in now, but what we're doing is like we're actually enable us to give more if we do something over the next few months than just as a one-off hit now. And so for me, it's like, I want to get into much more of a flow than we already are as a family of not just giving, but actually being stewards of what we've been given. Because at the end of the day, whatever you've got, it's not yours anyway, it's the Lord's, isn't it? So whether you've got a little in the natural or whether you've got oodles, it's all the Lord's. And Jesus talked more about the widow giving her a couple of mites than the rich guy's tipping God, even though they gave a lot more. And so we don't want to tip God, we want to honour God this morning. If he's told you to put a certain amount in, stick to that, okay? This is not about amounts. This is about what God has put in your heart to give. Also with offerings, you know, sometimes you say, I'd really love to put that in. If you've got a figure in mind and you want to put it in, give it then. Because it says each one decides in his heart what he wants to give. We prayed and I got a figure from God in our situation. And it's like, well, okay, we'll have to do that over a few months then. But for you, you might think, actually, I just want to give that. Brilliant, just give it then. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. All right. I'm not saying, I'll just give 20p and I won't have to give a lot. You know, listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you. But if you're thinking about a larger amount, just give what is in your heart to give, okay? And you'll be blessed. We'll all be blessed by being obedient to what God wants to do. So if we can have the band up and we'll just rejoice this morning as we really begin in our sowing, okay? But what I want you to do as you give, okay, it's not just goodbye, there goes that 50 quid, 200 quid, 500 quid, or whatever you might be putting in there. Goodbye. It's like, no, this is seed. There's not life in the money. There's life in the Holy Spirit. There's seed in your faith. That as you put it in, you're saying, right, I'm believing this is going to bless us as a church. This is going to bless every person that comes into this place. It's going to enable us to do everything that we need to do back there. But also, I'm expecting as I sow that also God's going to supply for me. Because God will never leave you out of pocket. And this is why God wants to prove some things to all of us as a church. As it is written, he who has given generous gifts to the poor and his righteous actions will not be forgotten. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are poor spiritually, but there's also a lot of people that are poor naturally. And as the church, we want to be, when I say the richest or wealthiest body of people, I don't mean consuming that ourselves. What I'm talking about is resources available to actually reach more people, to bless people and to reach into their lives. I don't mean we have loads of money in the bank, because whatever money we've got, we can put that to work, all right? So there's not a shortage of vision, there's not a shortage of all of that. And so when I say rich, it's because we want to be a conduit of God's life, and that obviously involves money in order to do those things. So let's praise God, shall we? Let's rejoice as we sow, as we give. If you want a gift aid, what you're putting in, if you're a taxpayer in this country, then you can gift aid this as well. Okay, so put your money or your check in one of the envelopes. If anybody hasn't got an envelope and you want to gift aid it, raise your hand, we can give you an envelope. Anybody need an envelope? Just put your name and the various bits of information on the front of the envelope, and then the finance office can get the tax back from the government that from that gift, okay? You'd be amazed at the extra money we get just because so many of you guys gift aid. So it's brilliant to do that. And we get thousands and thousands every year, which is brilliant. If the government is saying, we'll give you money if people gift aid it, come on then. So that's brilliant. So if you want to gift aid your gift, you can do that. You can gift aid cash. As long as you put your name and the info on the front, we can then sort the tax out back from the government for that, okay? Brilliant. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, let's rejoice, shall we, as we give. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close our eyes a moment. Let's just take a few moments to respond to the word this morning. The first part was just a reminder of the incredible work of God's grace, that he's taken us out of the sea of life in terms of living in it, being consumed by it and overwhelmed by it, taking us out onto the rock of salvation, where your life now is built on a completely different foundation, one that is immovable, unshakable, unstoppable. And then he raises us up into this new life with him, this victorious, overcoming life. Just thank him for his amazing grace this morning, his amazing grace in your life. Now thank him. Just choose this morning. I'm going to live in the good of that life this week. I'm not going to let any lie of the enemy, any condemnation come upon me. I'm not, no feelings of unworthiness or this, that, or the other. They are not going to have the better of me this week. I'm going to live in the good of who I am in Christ, who he is in me, what he's done for me, the victory over sin, guilt, pain, shame, all of that stuff that I've been separated from. I choose to live in the good of who you are in me this week, Jesus, and who I am in you. I thank you that that victorious life enables me to be full of your life at work, at home, in every situation this week. That this week I can be a person of hope, a person of blessing, a person of life. That when in whatever place I am this week, it's like fresh air walks into the room when I walk in because of the breath of who you are, Holy Spirit, in my life this week. And just make yourself available, Father. In one sense, we live in a world that you might call the sea of life, even though we've been separated from it. But just make yourself available, Father, this week. I'm available to jump into the sea of life with those that are, they've got no anchor point. They don't have a rock of salvation this moment. They don't have any victory. They're just being thrown around by every wind and wave, by every changing of this, that, and the other. Father, I thank you because my life is now anchored in you. You can throw me into the sea of life to grab hold of others who can then be rescued and become anchored in you. Just make yourself available this week. Father, I want to sow into lives this week. Sow your word. Sow your life. Lay hands on the sick so they recover. I tell you, guys, there is an anointing upon us as a church, as there is on the body of Christ. But I tell you, God wants us to be not just talking about the supernatural more, but seeing it more every day, expressed through our lives. You know, we see loads of people healed. We have testimonies every week of miracles of some kind. I don't know about you. I can't get enough of those. We want to see more and more and more and more, because that means God is touching more and more and more lives. And as a result, more and more and more people are going to get saved and respond to the gospel. So thank him that you're anointed. Thank him that your hands are anointed because you're anointed.
You don't even have to lay hands on somebody to see him healed, especially in the workplace or in situations like that. You just need to speak the word and they get healed and things get sorted. So, Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit this week upon every one of us to see lives touched, lives impacted by you this week. And, Father, right now, just thank him that as you've sowed financially, the world says and the devil says you're going to lack now because you've given of something. But one of God's kingdom principles is when you sow, you reap. If you give to God, you can't outgive him. He'll give back. Somehow or another, he'll make a way possible. You can give testimony like Jane and I can. You've probably got, where you live or just stuff God has given you and blessed you with, you think, well, in the natural, I could never have got to that point, afforded all of that or whatever God's done. But somehow God does it. Because he's bigger than the natural. You're not limited by your salary. You're not limited by what your wage slip says. God is bigger than your paycheck. God is bigger than what goes into your bank from your company or whoever pays you. He is our source of supply. And that's one of the ways I believe God wants to begin us to see him proved, his word proved. I don't mean you just spend money you haven't got. That's not what I'm talking about. But actually, in sowing and reaping, there's a principle there that goes beyond your salary in terms of being a blessing to others and how God then can supply and bless you so that you don't go without, you don't lack. So, Father, I thank you for today, what it represents, the beginning of a new release of faith in kingdom faith, a new release of financial provision into the vision that we've got, but also into our own personal lives. And Father, I thank you that as we give, you give back and we become an even greater blessing to one another's and those that we're reaching out to. So Father, I thank you that we really are the wealthiest, richest people on the earth because we have you in us and therefore we lack nothing because we have you in us. And Father, I thank you that we can give, we can sow, we can live from that point because you lack nothing, therefore we lack nothing. So we give out of the abundance and the overflow of who you are and what you blessed us with, and therefore we then live in the good of. I thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you as the work begins in just over a week's time back there. We thank you for your hand upon all the contractors. We thank you for your hand upon every decision as it goes, that the right ones are made at those moments that things pop up that maybe nobody is aware of as we go and things get taken apart. We thank you for your wisdom as things are done, as things that there'll be no corners cut. There'll be nobody trying to rip us off in any way whatsoever. In fact, because of the favor of God, every person that comes to work in this place will just have this feeling, I want to do this the best I've ever done anything. Because the fear of God is touching them, even if they might not realize it. So, Father, we thank you this place is going to honor you and glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.